It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
Hey now. Welcome back, everybody. Friday here on the Fade the Chalk podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here to break down the Week 11 slate on DFS, game by game. You know how we do it here on the podcast. Just me today, solo pod, breaking down all the games, and it's a pretty interesting slate. I mean, we have just two teams on bye. We have, you know, a really good set of 4 p.m. games led by Dallas and Kansas City, and there are a lot of interesting spots here when breaking down some matchups and some injuries and all that great stuff. So we'll get to all of that, breaking down all the games. But before we do that, I mean, there is a ton going on at FTN, including the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package. Starts at just $49.99 per month. You get all four sports optimizers with player and roster percentage projections for just one low price. You can build your bankroll with the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer. Use code FTNTV to get 15% off every single month. Again, that's code FTNTV for 15% off every month. The optimizer is unbelievable. Pairing that with the content, the articles, the videos, the live streams is the best way to find success. And I mean, just the proof is right there. I mean, Kyle Murray a couple weeks ago took down an NBA FanDuel tournament, and it came straight from the optimizer. He talked about it in his show, The Optimal. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. Again, FTN Daily's Lineup Edge Optimizer Package, $49.99 per month. Use the code FTNTV to get 15% off every single month. All right, let's get to these games. We'll start with Houston at Tennessee. Obviously, the backfield still banged up for the Titans. We did see Donta Foreman get more carries than Adrian Peterson last game. He saw 11 to Peterson's, I believe, 9 or 8. Peterson still got the goal line work and was the running back late in the game when the Titans were salting that game away. The usage for Foreman, I think it makes him more interesting as like a lower end, like flex play in deeper leagues if you need somebody. The matchup's obviously great. I still don't know if I'd go to him in DFS. Like on DraftKings, he's 4,900. That's a spot where I just don't think he's cheap enough, and I don't think his role is secure enough to go there. Again, could he score twice? I mean, the Titans need, I talk about this on the Waiver Wire podcast, but like the Titans need more explosive playmakers on offense, and Foreman is their most explosive running back right now. Over the last 3 weeks, they're averaging 4.4 yards per play. Only the Texans and Seattle Seahawks have been worse. Like their defense has bailed them out. They got a lot of short fields, but their offense is not like they're 8-2. They're on this winning streak, but it's not really lately at all been because of their offense. So I think this could be a game where Donta Foreman gets going. The Titans are, you know, 10-point favorites at home or 10.5-point favorites at home. I just don't think we can fully trust Foreman's workload at 4,900 on DraftKings, 6,200 on FanDuel. Like on FanDuel, he's more expensive than Miles. He's the same price as Miles Gaskin. Like it's tough to play him. And then there's AJ Brown, who's obviously in a great spot here. The four targets last game were definitely disappointing. But again, it's kind of that same situation. Like they need to get their best players the ball more. And AJ Brown, Julio Jones on IR, no Derrick Henry. Like AJ Brown, clearly this team's best player. I mean, Tannehill is too. Like, I don't get Tannehill's price. Like he scored less than, well, I guess he scored 18 last game, but again, it's a short 1 yard touchdown and then it's a short field and penalties bailed him out. Like Tannehill's not been a very good fantasy quarterback this year. He should not be 6,700. I know the matchup's great. I just can't play him at that price. I think the one value player from this team might be Marcus Johnson. He's at least a little interesting. The number two receiver on this team behind AJ Brown could, you know, fluctuate each week. It could be Westbrook Aquino 1 week. It could be Chester Rogers. And then last week, it was Marcus Johnson who caught 5 of 6 targets for 100 yards. He gets the best individual matchup from these receivers. He's going to see Desmond King in the slot, who's been pretty attackable this season, in all honesty. I mean, you look at some of the numbers for Desmond King, like he's getting thrown at a lot in slot coverage. He's giving up about 0.36 fantasy points per route run, which is a bottom seven rate in the league, or at least among cornerbacks on this slate. So at 3,500, Marcus Johnson could be worth a look. I actually don't hate that. But just understand that it's not set in stone, his role. We know that. For the Texans, it's once again, it's Brandon Cooks or bust. I mean, Brandon Cooks so far this season, and you can make the case at 6K. I know the touchdowns haven't been there because the offense is so bad. But, I mean, his role, like, he might be underpriced given his role, right? He's fourth in the NFL in target share at 29% and fourth in percentage of teams' receptions at 29%. His 45% air yard share, easily the highest rate in the NFL. So it's just like every advanced metric and usage stat you want for a receiver, Brandon Cooks has. And we know the Titans are not good against wide receivers. Their secondary, yes, their defense is playing better lately. I believe personally they're playing a little bit over their head. And at the end of the day, they're still allowing the most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. So I like Brandon Cooks. I mean, Nico Collins' role has been, you know, kind of, he's the number two in this offense. His routes have been solid. 3,300 if you want to go for a value play there. I mean, I've played Nico Collins the last couple weeks, or at least once in the last couple weeks. You could do worse. You could definitely do worse. And then, yeah, that's it for me. I'm not playing anybody else on the Houston Texans. Let's go to the Colts at Bills. This is a really good spot for the Buffalo passing attack. And I know they obviously bounced back last game. The Colts, they've been an absolutely massive, massive pass funnel this season, right? You look at it, 82.1% of the yardage allowed, or sorry, the touchdowns allowed by the Colts this season have come via the pass. That's easily the highest rate in the NFL. They're also allowing a league high 6.7% passing touchdown rate. And like their secondary, they're just, in the past, they've been really good at limiting big passing plays, but that's not been the case this year. They've been really bad. So I think they're bottom five and passer rating allowed on deep balls. So like they have not been a good passing defense. So you have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs coming off huge games, especially Diggs, who is top 10 on our wide receiver cornerback matchup chart. He's going to see coverage from Rocky Sin, who just, you know, nothing to fear, not exactly the fastest corner in the league. And the Colts are also dead last in pressure rate. So you give Josh Allen time, you give these receivers time to get open. It's just, and like the Colts have been unbelievable against the run. They've shut down the run pretty much all year. And that'd be more worrisome if the Bills weren't, you know, a team that just didn't care about running or that actually cared about running the football, but they don't. I know they had a lot of rushing touchdowns last week, but that was a product of facing the Jets, who just bleed running back touchdowns. So I love the Allen to Diggs stack. Cole Beasley's interesting too. I wrote up Cole Beasley in my values article this week. He only played 9 snaps last week because he's been dealing with a little bit of a rib injury the last handful of weeks. The Bills were in control of that game. They didn't feel like they needed to get him out there. But he returned to practice on Thursday. I mean, if he's good to go, which it sounds like he will be, and this game is closer, which it pretty much will be, I think Beasley's interesting, especially on DraftKings at 4,800, because we know his role is set in stone. We know when he's playing a full allotment of snaps, he's going to get 7 to 10 targets. And I think Kenny Moore is like a very solid corner. But that doesn't mean he's not like somebody that has been giving up a lot of production, because, you know, it's hard to play corner in the NFL, especially in the slot against these receivers. And teams have been throwing at him a ton. And that's going to be, I mean, Cole Beasley, we know, is the slot receiver for this team. We know he's going to line up in the slot the, you know, majority of the time. So he's going to see a lot of coverage from Kenny Moore. And I think there's clearly a matchup that he can take advantage of here. You look at the numbers this season for Kenny Moore in slot coverage, it's very, very encouraging. He's given up the most receptions in slot coverage with 42, the most targets in slot coverage with 60, and the most receiving yards in slot coverage with 416. He's also allowed a pair of touchdowns, so Beasley, who's in the slot 86% of the time, this does set up really well for him. The last player from Buffalo I'll mention is Dawson Knox, who is back. Again, didn't have to do much last game with the Bills in control, only had one target. So Dawson Knox got off to a great start this season. It was never because he was going to get a ton of targets. He's pretty much maxed out at like six. He had an 8-target game, but I think his ceiling is like 6 most weeks. But at 4K, with the role he has in the red zone, him and Josh Allen incredibly close, and the Colts this season, they are allowing the 4th most touchdowns per game at 0.6, the 5th most receptions per game at 6.0, and the 6th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. And Darius Leonard's been, in and out of practice. I expect him to play. I think he was back at practice Thursday, so that does hurt the matchup a little bit, but those numbers they've given up to tight ends have been with Darius Leonard healthy all year. So I actually, if I'm double stacking, it's probably Diggs and Beasley, but I don't think Dawson Knox is a bad option either at tight end. I mean, Sanders has been really bad lately. Like, for me, I would just rather play Beasley, who's cheaper. He's $500 cheaper. I do think Sanders is due for a nice game. He's still getting targets that you want to see, right? I believe the last time I looked, he's still top 5 in both end zone targets and deep targets. He may have dropped in deep targets. I'm going to double check right now. But, like, those are really, friendly numbers. So, Emmanuel Sanders right now, 9 end zone targets, tied for the league lead. So that's what we like to see. And then his deep targets this season, he is currently, 9 end zone targets, again, tied for the league lead. He has 16 deep targets, which is 11. So he did drop in deep targets. Stephon Diggs actually passed him, but I don't hate him. Like, if you're stacking Josh Allen a bunch of different ways, like, yeah, but I do prefer Beasley, just given the fact that he's cheaper. Let's go to the Colts side, where Jonathan Taylor is unbelievable, 100 plus scrimmage yards and a touchdown in, 7 straight games. He's been the top running back in fantasy. He's been unstoppable. The Colts offensive line at full strength with Braden Smith healthy. Quentin Nelson was out of practice Wednesday. I do believe he returned and is on track to play, so that's great. And look, this is a bad matchup, right? There's no other way around it. It's a bad matchup. Buffalo has been incredible against the run. They are 2nd in adjusted line yards behind only the Saints. They've just been really good. 26% of the carries against him have been stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage, 2nd highest rate in the NFL. But Jonathan Taylor, I mean, Marlon Mack's been a healthy scratch the last couple weeks. Taylor played 80% of the snaps last week. It was a season high for him. 21 carries, the first time all year he's had 20 carries in a game, which is shocking, I know. 6 catches, like he had 27 touches last week. At 8,300, I don't think, despite how good he's been, I don't know how much exposure people are going to have to Jonathan Taylor because of the matchup. And I'll say this. Buffalo might not have Tremaine Edmonds or Star Lotulelei in this game. Edmonds is dealing with a hamstring injury, hasn't practiced yet this week, and Star's been placed on the COVID list. If they're not active for this game, that's a massive blow to this run defense. I mean, we saw the Bills last year without Star in the lineup, and yes, their defensive line is a lot deeper this year, but they could easily be run on last year without Star in the middle of that defensive line. And given how good Taylor is, given how good this offensive line is, like I'm obviously a firm believer that the Bills are arguably the best defense in the NFL. But I'm also a firm believer that the Colts offensive line, when healthy, can just have their way against anybody. They're that good. So I think Taylor and GPPs might still go overlooked despite how good he's been. Same goes for Michael Pittman, who I'm not as high on. 6,100 on DraftKings. I don't think he's going to be shadowed by Trey White. Trey White hasn't really shadowed a ton this year. He shadowed occasionally. I don't know if he just full-on shadows Michael Pittman in this game. He's not a priority for me in this slate, but like even his bad game last week, 5 for 71, like he's been really good. Other than that, though, not a whole lot of interest in the Colts. The tight ends you can't trust. I'm not playing T.Y. Hilton, so, and I'm not on Carson Wentz in this game either. The Bills, top 5 in pressure rate. Their pass defense, obviously, like they've shut down receivers. They've been unbelievable. But I do think Jonathan Taylor is very interesting in tournaments. Let's move on to the Saints at the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're still waiting to see if Alvin Kamara is going to play. Didn't practice all last week with a knee sprain. Did practice Wednesday. He was limited. Didn't practice Thursday. Now, we see that a lot where a running back, you know, gets a limited set of practice on one day, then is out the next day. And you wonder if it's a setback. A lot of times it's just managing the reps and giving them rest. So we'll see on Friday if Kamara is back. If he's out, last week Mark Ingram had, I believe, you know, like 80% of the running back carries. He had over a 20% target share. He had 7 targets. $5,400 would probably still be a little bit too cheap. Yes, the Eagles' run defense can be really good, but they also play a lot of that cover two shell zone defense where the middle of the field's open, the short passing game is open, and that could lead to a lot of checkdowns and passes from Mark Ingram. So we'll have to keep an eye on Alvin Kamara's status, obviously. The Eagles this season, we know their linebackers are not great in coverage. This season, they're allowing 6.8 receptions per game to opposing running backs. That is the seventh most or sixth most in the NFL. They're allowing the eighth most fantasy points per game to running backs. So it's a solid spot for Mark Ingram if he's the lead back again. If Kamara's back, 8,100. His snaps have come down in the two games where Ingram's been with the Saints. So, like, the 25 carry games from Alvin Kamara seem to be gone, which definitely makes sense for the Saints. But if he can still get, with Trevor Siemian under center checking it down so much, 6 to 8 targets, you know what he can do. He's still one of the three best running backs in the NFL. The passing options for the Saints are a little bit interesting here. Traquan Smith, we talked about him a lot on the waiver show. 4 catches, 7 targets, and a touchdown last week. Sean Payton said he was really impressed with Traquan the last couple weeks. And I think they're playing him in the slot lately, which means he would not see Darius Slay, who has been shadowing pretty much all year. So that does bode well for Traquan Smith at 4,400. I think he's perfectly in play. And this is such a good spot for Adam Trautman, who has been more involved lately, right? He's got at least 6 targets in each of his last 3 games. And if you look at his routes lately, right, they have been completely different than they were at the beginning of the season. So the first 7 weeks of the season, Adam Trautman, run blocking a lot, not running a ton of routes. He was just averaging 17.1 routes run per game. 37th among tight ends during that span. However, I mean, the last 3 weeks, he's 6th among all tight ends in routes run, averaging about 29 per game. And now he gets an Eagles team that's allowed the most fantasy points per game to tight ends at 16. They are giving up almost a full touchdown per game to the position. And yeah, there's other tight ends with better roles than Adam Trautman, but the Eagles have allowed touchdowns and production to tight ends in way lesser roles than Trautman, right? They allowed both backup tight ends from the Chargers to score against him, Donald Parham and Steven Anderson. Tommy Tremble of the Panthers scored against him. Jody Fortson scored against him when they played the Chiefs. Blake Jarwin, O.J. Howard, like, they've given up tight end touchdowns to everybody, and they haven't even faced really any good tight ends. Like, they faced Kelsey, sure, he didn't score, but like I said, Jody Fortson did. And the Denver tight ends didn't score last week, but they combined for, like, well over 100 yards. So they've been awful. I mean, Foster Moreau scored against him. Like, they've been terrible against the position. Now, I think I did see a report that, like, Sean Payton was going to start maybe going to Juwan Johnson more because he hasn't been pleased with what Trautman's done. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm going to take a shot on Trautman here at a cheap price tag on DraftKings, $3,300. The matchup is so good. The involvement's been better in the passing game for Trautman. I'm interested. I'm definitely interested in Trautman. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts coming off, I think, maybe his best game of his career. The throws he made were absolutely fantastic. He should have had another touchdown, probably the best throw of his career, down the sideline into the back of the end zone to Quez Watkins that he just couldn't hold on to. The Eagles obviously really, really leaning on the run the last 3 weeks. Last 3 weeks, 68% run rate, easily the highest rate in the NFL. It's not even close. And I don't think they're going to change that, but at least to start the game. But I don't see Jordan Howard running up the middle against the best run defense in the NFL having much success, right? Saints, number 1 in the NFL in adjusted line yards. stuffing 24% of runs at or behind the line of scrimmage. Like 4.5% of carries against the Saints this year have gone for 10 or more yards. That's easily the lowest rate in the NFL. So I just don't see him finding success doing that. Miles Sanders, I think, will be back in this game. Probably will be limited, if any, at all, if he's back. Not playing Sanders, not playing any running back against the Saints. I just don't play running backs. I have hesitations playing like elite fantasy running backs against the Saints. So yes, Jordan Howard's been good. I'm not going there. I mean, Jalen Hurts, though, I mean, he's interesting. He's under 7K. The floor has been great. Yes, the passing volume hasn't been great the last couple weeks, but I think this is a game where they're going to have to throw. I don't see him finding a lot of success on the ground. So if Hurts can get back even to 30 passing attempts here, because he's given you at least 40 rushing yards in all but two games this year, and he's given you 50-plus in one, two, three, four. Well, it's each of his last four games. And seven total games. Like the rushing floor for Jalen Hurts is obviously massive. So I have a little bit of interest in Jalen Hurts. Devonta Smith coming off an awesome game, caught 4 of 6 targets for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, Dallas Goedert was limited on Thursday. He left with a concussion. If he can't play, who else do the Eagles throw to? I don't think Jack Stoll is going to be involved as the backup tight end. It's really going to be Devonta Smith, who will see a good bit of Marshawn Lattimore. I think Smith is fine. Not my favorite play on the slate, especially because he's been priced up, but he's fine. We'll have to keep an eye on Goddard, and then I'm not playing anybody else from the Eagles. So, you know, just nobody else is trustworthy. All right, I think that covers it from that game. Let's go to the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Joe Flacco is going to start for the Jets. Mike White coming off a terrible game. The blitz-heavy Dolphins. I think the Jets just think Flacco will be more prepared for that type of defense, so Flacco will start. Nobody on the Jets is on my radar. I know Elijah Moore's been good the last couple weeks. He's had 2 touchdowns in garbage time. It's helped. And yes, he's been good, and he's got 14 targets the last 2 weeks. But the problem is, his snaps and routes are like half of what Davis and Jamison Crowder have been running. So that does scare me a little bit. Michael Carter, he's been fine. Probably still gets a lot of checkdowns with Flacco under center, but at 5,800, I think there's other running backs I prefer on this slate. So the Jets really aren't on my radar. The Dolphins defense playing much better the last couple weeks. The secondary is, you know, healthy with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. So I'm not on the Jets. The Dolphins are obviously more interesting here. Tua Tagovailoa is going to start. He was full in practice on Thursday. 5,500 against the Jets, who obviously not a very good defense. On the season, the Jets are allowing the 4th most yards per drive at 36 per drive, a league-leading 2.87 points per drive. And teams are scoring points on 52% of the drives against the Jets. That's the highest rate in the NFL. So that's good for Tua. Then there's Myles Gaskin, who I still think people are going to play. And at 5,700 on DraftKings, he's cheaper on DraftKings than on FanDuel. FanDuel is 6,200. He's in play on both sides. You really like the involvement from Myles Gaskin, right? I mean, the last 2 weeks, Myles Gaskin's usage has been fantastic, right? He has carried the ball 34 times. He has 34 of Miami's 40 running back carries during that span. He's played 61 and 72% of the snaps. The problem is he's had 65 total rushing yards on those 34 carries the last 2 weeks. Now, one was against Baltimore, who is, you know, they actually lead the league in stuff percentage. The Dolphins' run blocking has been awful. They can't get anything going in the running game. If they can't do it here, they probably won't do it the rest of the season. The Jets, 2.1 rushing touchdowns allowed per game, easily the most in the NFL. They just gave up 4 rushing touchdowns to Buffalo last week. 55.8% of the touchdowns against the Jets this year have come via the run. That's the highest rate in the NFL. So this should be a get-right finally spot for Myles Gaskin. I'm fine with him. I still love Jalen Waddle's price. Like, the targets are just so good for Jalen Waddle. He is still 7th in the NFL in first read targets. He's got a 24% target share over the last 5 or 6 weeks. He's going to see slot coverage from Michael Carter, who's been bad. He has like an 80 or 78% catch rate allowed this season. It's a really good spot for Jalen Waddle, who I definitely have interest in. Still no Will Fuller for the Dolphins. Still no Devontae Parker. And then Mike Gesicki coming off a goose egg, but he's had 7 targets. He's still in the slot, you know, as a slot receiver. This is a good matchup for him. So I'm fine with really all 4 main skill players from the Dolphins here. They're all really fairly priced, if not really, you know, good values. 2 at 5.5, Gaskin at 5.7 on DraftKings, Waddle at 5.6, and Gesicki at 5.2. Not exactly a value, but he's not going to goose egg again, and there's a lot of upside here. And if you want to pay up for defense, the Dolphins obviously makes sense. Moving on to the Washington football team at the Carolina Panthers, and it looks like Cam Newton will start at quarterback. It's trending toward Cam being under center. We saw him play 9 snaps last week, scored 2 touchdowns, 1 passing, 1 running. I mean, the guy was the quarterback 16 on 9 snaps. Obviously, that efficiency is not going to carry over to a full start, but we know the upside and potential of Cam Newton, right? 5,100 on DraftKings. Over on FanDuel, he is a lot more. It's hard to play him on FanDuel because he got priced up to 7,500. He's like the quarterback 8 over on FanDuel. So more of a DraftKings play for me, but obviously opens up a ton of value. I mean, we know they're going to use him running the football. A lot of people have worries about Cam Newton's passing, but like the guy hasn't played football. So like he's been able to get healthy. Remember the last couple of years, dealing with a shoulder, dealing with a foot, dealing with a toe. Like he was super banged up. I think he's healthy. And you have DJ Moore, you have Christian McCaffrey, you have Robbie Anderson. You have plenty of offensive skill players to make your job easier. And like Washington coming off a really good defensive game against Tom Brady and company, but I mean, they just lost Chase Young for the season. This is still a team giving up the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. They're allowing 24.3 rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. That's the 6th most in the NFL. And the 2nd most yards and 2nd most points per drive. So Cam at 5,100, he doesn't have to do that much, but I think he's got potential to run for 60 yards and a touchdown, throw for 200 and a touchdown or two. So I'm definitely going to have a lot of interest in Cam Newton. Not to mention, I always do anyway. One of my favorite players ever. So I'll definitely be playing Cam Newton. The question is, do you have to stack him? And if you do, I mean, it's probably Christian McCaffrey, who had 10 targets, caught all 10 of them last game. I talked about it on the solo pod, but the guy got ruled out of bounds at the 1, stepped out of bounds at the 5, had Chuba Hubbard steal a touchdown from him, didn't play a full allotment of snaps. You know, Hubbard and Amir Abdullah had 18 combined carries, right? Like, and he still scored 26.1 fantasy points in PPR. So, and he was 5 yards away from the 100-yard bonus. So, yeah, I mean, McCaffrey, obviously great play. DJ Moore, I feel like, is due, right? He's going to see coverage from Kendall Fuller. It's a good matchup. He's still getting, like, DJ Moore is still top 5 in first read targets. Like, I feel like he's close. And he's under 6K. Like, I'm probably going to have interest in DJ Moore here. We know Washington's secondary has been bad this season, giving up a ton of fantasy production to wide receivers. On the season, they're allowing the 2nd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. I still do have interest in DJ Moore. And I hope he finally gets going because he's too talented not to. Washington, I don't have interest in. Terry McLaurin's really only had like 3 good games. I still think he's a little bit too, like, I didn't play him last week. He was too expensive on DraftKings, in my opinion. I still think he's a little bit too expensive. He's 7K. Obviously, an immensely talented player, but like, I'd rather play a lot of receivers under him. And that's just what it comes down to. And then even the receivers in his price range around him, like CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Hollywood Brown, like DK Metcalf, I would rather play those guys. McLaurin, probably going to see coverage from Stephon Gilmore in this game. I just don't want to go there, and I'm not on Antonio Gibson because I still have some concerns about the shin. And yes, I think 24 carries last week, a career high, that's great. You love to see that. But again, he got lucky with the 2 touchdowns he had, and he still was involved in the passing game. And Carolina's run defense is a lot better with Shaq Thompson back, who's been back. So I don't think it's a great spot for Gibson. I mean, under 6K, it's not a terrible price. And the one thing that is in his favor here is I don't think Carolina runs away with this game to where it's a JD McKissick game suddenly. But I'd rather play Gaskin and some other running backs in that price range. And yeah, that's it for Washington for me. So let's move on to Detroit and Cleveland. Nick Chubb has been officially activated from the reserve COVID list, so he will be back. And it's a great spot, obviously, against Detroit, right? This is one of the best O-line, D-line mismatches you can find. Nick Chubb, you know, getting 20 carries consistently. Didn't have to get 20 carries last game in a blowout where he broke off a ton of long runs, because guess what? That's what Nick Chubb does. And he's facing a Detroit team that we know is bad. So I think they're the worst red zone defense in the NFL this season. So, yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb, will Dearness Johnson, you know, take away some carries? Yeah, absolutely. But Nick Chubb is still going to get the majority of the work here against a bad Detroit defense. So give me, especially with the quarterback situation, right? Baker's playing bad. He's incredibly banged up dealing with. I mean, you look at Baker on the injury report. It says knee, foot, shoulder. Like, they don't want Baker throwing the ball, and they probably won't have to in this game at home against Detroit. Especially with Detroit on the other end banged up. Jared Goff hasn't been practicing. DeAndre Swift's obviously been limited for pretty much all year. He'll play, but they're so banged up right now that Cleveland's defense should be able to set the tone of this game, and we should be able to see 18 to 20 plus carries for Nick Chubb in a great spot. Jarvis Landry talked about he needs the ball more. Maybe it's a squeaky wheel thing for him at 5,100. Not a terrible play. I just don't know if there's a huge ceiling if they're only throwing 24, 25 times max in this game potentially. Donovan Peoples-Jones also left practice with a groin. Definitely something to monitor. I don't think it would push me onto any Cleveland receivers. Like, this game's just gross, right? Like, you play Nick Chubb. If you want to play DeAndre Swift on the other side, he had 33 carries last game. Jamal Williams hasn't played the last couple weeks. He was limited. If Williams is back, no shot in hell we see 30-plus carries from DeAndre Swift, but we know there's a chance for him to get 6 to 8 targets every single week. Hockenson coming off an absolute goose egg. You got to think he's more involved. Like, how do you play 5 quarters and have 1 target? Just shocking, but I'm not really on Detroit. I'm really not. So it's really just Nick Chubb or bust from that game for me. All right, moving on. San Francisco at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Injury news for both running backs. James Robinson was active last week, coming off the heel injury, dealing with a heel and a knee. Didn't practice Wednesday, probably just got, you know, rest like veterans do on Wednesday. He was back at practice, limited capacity on Thursday. So I expect him to play. I expect him to play more snaps, too. He didn't play a full allotment of snaps, but still had 12 carries, caught four or five targets. So you like that usage. I think Robinson's a little bit underpriced if you want to go to him. And then Elijah Mitchell on the other side, dealing with that finger injury, didn't practice Thursday. I mean, he had a broken finger, had to get procedure on it, and there's still a chance he'll play, and they believe he's going to play. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on. If he's out, I mean, Jeff Wilson Jr., like, he got priced up already. So at 5'1", he would still be firmly in play. He had 10 carries last week. I think you can. If Mitchell does sit, I think Wilson's a good play. If Mitchell plays, though, like, I don't really love Mitchell because Wilson got 10 carries, right? And if Jamichael Hasty plays, I don't think he will, though. He hasn't been practicing with an ankle. But, like, I would rather play Gaskin at the same price. I just worry about Jeff Wilson getting 8 to 12 carries. Maybe Elijah Mitchell gets the third down work now that Hasty's out. He wasn't targeted last game. They didn't throw a lot last game. I mean, he had 27 carries in that game. And there's a chance that their game script is very similar to this game. So I guess Elijah Mitchell's fine if he plays, but I still do slightly prefer Gaskin. And the passing game, Deebo Samuel coming off a massive game where he got 5 carries and scored a rushing touchdown and caught all 5 of his targets. Deebo's expensive, but he is, like, I think he's number 1 on our wide receiver cornerback matchup chart. So that's a great spot for Deebo Samuel, obviously. Jacksonville, their pass defense has been better lately. Definitely been better. Something to maybe keep an eye on. But it's for Deebo Samuel, it's obviously not a matchup that you're, you know, running away from by any means. And they're also tied for fourth in the NFL in missed tackles. And we know Debo after the catch is as good as it gets at the wide receiver position. So a good spot for Debo Samuel. George Kittle's been really good the last couple weeks. 15 targets, over 150 yards, and two touchdowns during that span. Again, you want to talk about after the catch, George Kittle, the best tight end in the league in that department. So Kittle obviously firmly in play. That's probably it from Jacksonville. Like Garoppolo at 5'6". I mean, he only threw the ball 19 times last week. Scored twice. Like, he's not an awful play, but I'd rather play Cam. I'd rather play Tua, who are both cheaper on the slate. Mentioned Robinson from Jacksonville. That's it. I just can't trust the passing game. Jamal Agnew had a 66-yard rushing touchdown, but if he doesn't get that, he's doing nothing. Laviska Shenault is just running routes to run routes. He's turned into a Fitbit player, which is absurd and maddening, but that's what happened. So I'm off Jacksonville. No thank you. All right, Green Bay and Minnesota up next. Just play Davante Adams. Like, back-to-back down games from him. The Week 9 game against Kansas City was with Jordan Love, so we're not really counting that. Last game, again, Davante Adams' bad games are 7 for 78. And he is going to dominate these Vikings corners. Patrick Peterson might be back. Doesn't matter at this point of his career. Cameron Dantzler, Breshad Breeland, like, they don't have a shot against Davante Adams, who is still top 5 in target share, percentage of teams' air yards, percentage of teams' receptions. He's going to get 10 targets in his sleep in this game. So I think the Packers are going to be popular in this game, though, because we have a running back on the other side, or on the same side, that should be popular as well, and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones obviously suffered the MCL sprain. He is going to miss 1 to 2 weeks, so he's not going to play in this game. Dillon stepped in, dominated the backfield, 21 carries, 66 yards, and a pair of touchdowns, also added a 50-yard reception. And Dillon's been good in the passing game this year, too. When they've called on him, he's been very good. And now he's going to have a full-time role against a Vikings defense that I believe Michael Pierce is still banged up at D-tackle, so that's good for A.J. Dillon. And the run defense has not been as good this year. Like, you look at the numbers, they are actually, this season, they've been getting gashed a little bit, right? I wrote about A.J. Dillon earlier in the week. So the Vikings this season, stuffing 8% of carries out of behind the line of scrimmage. That is the lowest rate in the NFL. 35.3% of the yards allowed by the Vikings this season has come via the running game. Eighth highest rate in the NFL. And you can make the case that for as long as Aaron Jones is out, A.J. Dillon should be a 7K running back. So at 6,200, like, I would play him at 6,200 against anybody. Maybe even the Saints. Because he's getting 18 to 20 carries and upwards of 5 receptions. Like, they're not going to get Patrick Taylor a huge role. He'll probably have a couple carries as the backup. But this is going to be A.J. Dillon's backfield. And it's a great spot. So a lot of people are going to play Dillon. A lot of people are going to play Adams in this great spot, right? These cornerbacks I mentioned, Dantzler, Breeland, if Peterson plays, like, they're not going to be able to cover Davante Adams. Breshad Breeland, eighth most receptions in coverage, 115.3 passer rating. Like, it's not going to go well. It's just not. So, I mean, he's allowing a reception every 7 snaps in coverage. That's a top or a bottom 7 rate, however you want to look at it, in the NFL. Like, Adams, Rodgers, Stacks, you can play all three in this. You can just onslaught, because I think this game goes over the total. I think it's like 48, 49. I think it goes over. And it's so concentrated, right? It's Rodgers. And it's even more concentrated because Tonyan's out. He's been out. They're not giving Mercedes Lewis a ton of work. So, yeah. Onslaughts with Rodgers, Adams, and Dillon, they make plenty of sense. For the Vikings, they talked about last week going into the game, getting Jefferson more involved. And that was the case. 11 targets, 143 yards. He was awesome in that game. Now, the Packers' defense has been unbelievable lately. They've been very good, especially the secondary without Jair Alexander, right? Rookie cornerback Eric Stokes has been great. I think that this is still a pretty good spot for Jefferson. whenever he sees Kevin King, that's a mismatch in favor of Justin Jefferson. And Thielen, for whatever it's worth, Thielen just torches Green Bay whenever he plays Green Bay. So I have interest in both receivers, which means maybe I should have interest in Cousins, but I kind of don't. It's probably I would play Thielen as, you know, not in the same lineup as Jefferson, just kind of both players separately in lineups. Cousins at 6'1". Just don't know if there's going to be a ton of volume from him. And Green Bay's defense has been good. I think Rashawn Gary is going to play in this game, so it does help their pass rush. Dalvin Cook, obviously in play, 8,200. You know, he had 27 touches last game. Green Bay's one of those defenses that they kind of invite you to run the football. That's been the case with them for a while now, in the past couple years. So there's going to be opportunities for Dalvin Cook in this game for sure. So I like Cook, and I like Jefferson. And then Conklin, I've liked Conklin the last couple weeks. He has at least 5 targets in 4 straight games. Finally had the touchdowns last game, which was, they've been escaping him. He hadn't scored since week 3 prior to last week. I think he's still fine, but at 3,900, like, I would rather play some of the cheaper tight ends I talked about, right? I already talked about Troutman, Knox at 4K, I slightly prefer. I should go back. Dan Arnold's firmly in play from Jacksonville, too. That's probably the only Jacksonville player. 8, 7, and 10 targets the last 3 weeks. I think I slightly prefer Arnold. I think he has a better chance of getting 8 to 10 targets, clearly, than Tyler Conklin. But Conklin's still fine at, you know, 3,900 on DraftKings. His role is pretty safe. He's running plenty of routes. Just it seems like he's going to max out at like 5 targets. All right, final 1 o'clock game, Baltimore at Chicago. I think the Bears are kind of interesting here, right? They're not going to get a lot of, you know, buzz, and they really shouldn't. Baltimore's defense is still good, but they're not as good, right? This is, they have the name value and everything, but I like this spot for Cole Kmet. 3,400 on DraftKings, one of my favorite value tight ends of the week. You look at this spot, right? Cole Kmet facing a Ravens defense that's been really bad against tight ends. They're bottom 7 against the position. They've given up huge games to a ton of tight ends. And at first I thought it was, oh, they're playing Kelce and Waller and Hockenson the first couple weeks. Maybe they're just struggling against really good tight ends. But that's not the case. They clearly struggle against that position. And you have Cole Kmet now, who's coming off a game back in week 9 when we last saw the Bears. Led Chicago in receptions with 6, targets 8, and receiving yards with 87. He's now seen at least 6 targets in each of his last 3 games. And last year it was, okay, is it going to be Jimmy Graham stealing snaps and targets and routes? This year it's all Cole Kmet. Yes, Jimmy Graham will get the occasional goal line, red zone target. But this season, Cole Kmet, 83.3% of the snaps, and he's running a route on nearly 74% of Chicago's dropbacks. Meanwhile, Jimmy Graham's only played about 23% of the snaps this season, and he's running a route on just over 17% of dropbacks. So the usage is good for Cole Kmet. Justin Fields is clearly, you know, playing better. He looks great. And they're using Cole Kmet down the field, which gives him upside. I love Cole Kmet here, 3,400. I have a lot of interest in Cole Kmet. And, I mean, 2 Bears players made my value article, and Dave Montgomery. And a lot of it's because when we last saw the Bears, it was Monday Night Football in week 9. So when the pricing, like, they haven't really been priced up because of that. And as a result, it was Dave Montgomery's first game back, and there was concerns, would he be limited? Would Khalil Herbert take away a lot of work? And that just wasn't the case at all. I mean, Montgomery played 85% of the snaps in that game against the Steelers, handled 13 of the 17 running back carries, looked pretty good too against a tough Steelers run defense, 13 carries, 63 yards, averaged nearly 2 yards after contact per attempt. And again, the Ravens matchup on paper doesn't look great, I get it. But they're 3rd in the NFL in missed tackles. They give up explosive runs. 14.1% of the runs against the Ravens this year have gone for 10 yards or more. 4th highest rate in the NFL. Montgomery's averaging 2.4 yards after contact per rush. Top 10 among all running backs. He's just 5,500 on DraftKings. Like, given his role, and yeah, the Bears are all open up their offense a little bit more, but they're still very much a run-first team. Like, 5,500 for Montgomery, that is a week off to fully rest and get fully healthy if he's not there already. That's tough for me to pass for Dave Montgomery. And, like, he could easily score 2 touchdowns in this game. And he has breakaway ability. We've seen it this year. So, again, 5,500 on DraftKings. On FanDuel, he is 6,800, which really isn't that bad either. He's cheaper than Elijah Mitchell. He's right around, let's see, Michael Carter, Ingram, Gibson. Don't sleep on Dave Montgomery this week. For the pass catchers, the other pass catchers, Allen Robinson, I don't think people were talking about it, but he had that 37-yard catch down the sideline back in week 9 at the end of the game. Hurt his hamstring on that play, and he hasn't been practicing. So, I mean, Darnell Mooney has already been the team's league or team's leader in targets in all but one of Justin Fields' starts this season. So, again, Mooney wouldn't, like, Robinson being out wouldn't all of a sudden vault Mooney into a top play for me. I think he's in play. But if Robinson sits, like, I don't think you're going any, I don't think you're playing Marquise Goodwin or anything. It just makes me feel even better about Cole Kmet, honestly. So we'll keep an eye on that. I have interest in Fields a little bit. 5,700, though, I talked about quarterbacks that I prefer. Cam at 5,100, who I think you get a similar stat line, honestly. Two at 5,500, Garoppolo at 5,600. Let me see on FanDuel, Justin Fields. Definitely more interesting on FanDuel. Wow, he's okay. 6,800 on FanDuel. Like, he is very cheap on FanDuel. So, more of a FanDuel play for me for Justin Fields. For the Baltimore side, Hollywood Brown in practice has been out with a thigh. I think he plays, but it's something to keep an eye on. I think Bateman was out of practice Thursday too, but I think he's fine. If Hollywood sits, I mean, Bateman at 4,500. Yes, Sammy Watkins was back in their last game. But Bateman still had 8 targets. It gives him 8 in back-to-back games. He has at least 6 in every game. Watkins did nothing to prove that he should play over Bateman. He had a bad fumble. He had a ball he lost in the lights that could have been a touchdown. So, honestly, Bateman's probably firmly in play regardless at 4,500, given his role, given the fact that the Ravens have been way more pass-heavy this season anyway. So, Bateman's a strong play, and he becomes a great play if for some reason, Hollywood Brown doesn't play. If Brown does play, 7,100, the guy's had double-digit targets in 4 of his last 5 games. I mean, he's getting deep targets, right? Like, that's not going to change. He's still top 5 in deep targets, but he's getting a bunch of targets in general on top of that. It's not like a couple years ago in his rookie year where he was getting 5 targets a game and 3 of them came 20 yards down the field, so if he didn't convert on one of them, you were kind of screwed. Like, I think he's still firmly in play. The Bears secondary outside of Jalen Johnson has been very, very beatable, and that's why Bateman is very interesting to me in this game, so definitely like Bateman. Mark Andrews at 6K, perfectly fine at tight end. I slightly prefer Kittle if you're going up to that range, but he's fine. And Lamar Jackson, obviously, should be better this game. I wonder if the Bears are going to... This is a copycat league, right? And I wonder if the Bears watched the Dolphins game and saw how much they blitzed and if they decide to do that too. If they do, the middle of the field is going to be wide open. And that's good for Bateman. That's good for Mark Andrews. So definitely something to keep an eye on in this game. If they just, you know, use that defensive strategy and just blitz, it could be a nice game for Mark Andrews in the middle of the field. All right, let's go to the 3-4 o'clock games. Cincinnati at the Las Vegas Raiders. Bengals coming off a bye. Jamar Chase, 7,200. The targets have been great. He's still among the league leaders in deep targets, so there's a ton of upside there. The Raiders have been good against receivers this year. They got obviously lit up by Tyreek Hill last game, but they're a team that also likes to keep everything in front of them. So, in theory, it could be a Tyler Boyd game, but I'm not playing Tyler Boyd. When all three receivers have been healthy, he's maxing out at like 40 yards, 5, maybe 6 targets. The Bengals have been more pass-heavy the last, you know, 5 weeks, which is good, but I'm just going to play Higgins. I still think T. Higgins is underpriced at 5-4. I think he still leads his team in target share, or he's close to it. He got downfield work finally 2 weeks ago, which is great to see. In the last couple weeks, he's been so close to finding the end zone. I think he gets there in this game. I like Higgins. Mixon's fine at 7,600. He hasn't been incredibly efficient the last couple weeks, but the touchdowns have been great. He's getting all the goal line work. His involvement in the passing game has been super up and down, but it's been more up lately. 10 targets his last 2 games. Chris Evans has been limited or out in both those games. So I wonder if Evans, who's not on the injury report, if he gets back to playing decent snaps, if that takes away from Mixon's passing game work. But still, You know, Darrell Williams just went off against the Raiders. They're not good against the run, so I think Mixon's a really strong play. Burrow at 6,600. John Diggle had a tweet about Burrow and this matchup against the Raiders. I want to find it and mention it because it was a really interesting tweet, and it just kind of enhanced why this could be a really good matchup for Joe Burrow this week. I'm gonna find it. John Diggle. Follow him on Twitter at Not Jay Daigle, friend of the podcast. Here it is. So this is per Not John Daigle. Daigle, obviously. It's John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge. This is per Daigle. Gus Bradley called cover three on 44% of Las Vegas' defensive snaps on Sunday night against the Chiefs, despite knowing Patrick Mahomes had struggled to that point exclusively against two high safety looks. Joe Burrow on 65 attempts against cover three this year. 76.9% completion rate, 602 yards, 9.3 yards per attempt. That's per John Diggle. So sets up pretty well for Joe Burrow, who you can double stack with Higgins and Chase and have some potential there. I actually don't hate Uzama here either in that, you know, I think the mid 3K range at tight end is pretty loaded on DraftKings. And the Raiders against tight ends have been really struggled lately. We saw Waller go off against him last week and or not Waller, excuse me, Kelsey go off against him last week. And Kelsey will do that. We know that. But then the Giants, Evan Ingram scored against him in week 9. Goddard had a good game against him week 7. They've been getting beat up by tight ends as of late. So Uzama, we've seen him score on limited work this year. The Raiders all of a sudden second most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. So don't sleep on CJ Uzama. For the Raiders, I mean, nobody really stands out too much for me. I missed the 19 target Waller games. That would be nice to see. I don't trust, like, Renfro. This matchup is good for Renfro. I don't love the price, though. Like, we know there's not a huge ceiling. The good thing about Renfro is, like, you know there's a floor. So it makes him definitely more of a cash game play for me. The matchup is very good, though. I mean, you look at Hunter Renfro this season, he has at least 7 catches in each of his last 3 games, and he has at least 5 receptions in every game except for 1 this year. He has at least 8 targets in 6 of his 9 games, and he's got a solid 21% target share on the season. Now he's got a matchup against the Bengals, who have struggled to defend opposing slot receivers this season. Renfro's in the slot about 65% of the time. Mike Hilton has allowed the 6th most yards, 2nd most receptions, 2nd most targets, and 5th most touchdowns in the slot this season. So Renfro, he's 5,900 on DraftKings. It's not a great, or 5,800, not a great price, but he's getting end zone targets too. The floor's solid. I think he's a very safe play for the Raiders. And again, you can play Waller. I do prefer Kittle and Andrews. And I think he's been so close to scoring. He had a touchdown go through his hands in tight coverage last game. Like, I think we're due for a Waller blow up game. So if you want to play him, I definitely get it. All right, last 2 games, Arizona at Seattle. It sounds like Kyler Murray could play. It's trending towards that way. He says he's feeling better. He's been limited in practice the last 2 games. If I had to guess, again, we're recording this Friday morning, he'll probably come down to a game-time decision again. If he plays, though, I'm not really on him, right? 7,900, I'd rather play Lamar. I worry about Kyler playing limited. He's not been good in fantasy when he's been, you know, dealing with any sort of injury. I wonder how much he's going to run with the ankle, on top of already not running a ton this year anyway. So not really on Kyler. DeAndre Hopkins, still not practicing with the hamstring. I don't think he's going to play in this game. So Christian Kirk, 5,700. I mean, Kirk has been quietly very good this year. 58 yards last game in a game where the Cardinals kind of gave up after halftime. Pretty much locked into 6 to 8 targets. He's got the downfield role. Seattle's defense, not exactly good. I think Kirk's a really strong option, assuming Hopkins sits again. And then James Conner at 6,100. Look, everything went bad for him last game, and he still scored. And he got 4 targets with Chase Edmonds out, so you like to see that. I mean, 6,100 feels too cheap for the role Conner's going to have. We know he's a candidate to score every single game. And Seattle just gave up 2 touchdowns to A.J. Dillon last week. So I like Conner quite a bit. That's just too cheap for him, in my opinion. That's probably it for me. Like, Rondo Moore going into last game was dealing with a neck and a concussion. Obviously clear from the concussion, but he had the neck. He played, I think he ran like a season low in snaps and routes last game with Hopkins out. So They probably limited him a little bit. I just don't think you can trust Rondell Moore. Not really on Zach Ertz in this game either at 4,800. That's too expensive for me for Zach Ertz. So, yeah, Kyler might be back, but it still doesn't make me crazy about the Cardinals. I think you play Connor because he's too cheap, and you can mix in Christian Kirk if DeAndre Hopkins is once again out. Russell Wilson coming off a terrible game in his first game back for Seattle. I'm still not crazy about it, right? Like, Arizona's been getting pressure this season. Wilson was under pressure 45% of his dropbacks last game. And on the season, he's been under pressure on just over 40% of his dropbacks over the course of the entire year. So, like, Arizona secondary coming into the season, I expected them to be very bad, a team we would be able to go after with receivers all year. That hasn't been the case this year. But I just think you're buying low on both Metcalf and Lockett, right? They're going to pop off. Wilson's going to be better. In tournaments, I think getting exposure to both these guys, especially Lockett at only 6K, 8 targets last game. Just Wilson's deep ball was terrible. He just didn't play well. But now back home, another week to practice and get prepared. I like both receivers in tournaments. And I feel like you can say that every week with these two. But I just think a huge game is coming from them. And they're both under 7K, which is tough to pass. Chris Carson not going to play. I mean, Alex Collins, 5K, didn't practice on Thursday with a groin. He's been battling that groin. Again, like, not a terrible option at 5K. I think he gets like 15 touches in this game. Just not overly excited about it. Like, you can rip off long runs against the Cardinals. 16.3% of the runs against Arizona this season have gone for 10 yards or more. That's the highest rate in the NFL. And Pete Carroll keeps talking about it. Like, they're going to keep running the football. They don't care. And it was good to see, you know, even with Rashad Penny active. I mean, he had seven. He didn't even get a snap. So he was active, didn't play a snap. So Collins and Homer handled all the work. So that's good for Collins at 5K. If he's good to go, he could get, you know, 15 carries in this game at 5K. You could do worse. Like, I'd rather play Collins and Dante Foreman. But he's probably going to be one of those players that he just kind of fits your lineup if you have 5K left for a flex or a running back. All right, final game this late, Dallas at Kansas City. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Just play the dudes. I mean, the Chiefs' offense obviously looked a lot better last game. They're at home. Dallas' offense is going to push them to score. We know that. Tyreek Hill, double-digit targets now in, seven of his last 8 games. Just unbelievable usage from him. Yes, he hasn't gotten a ton of deep targets, but I don't really care. They will come. And he's getting a massive floor, and he's getting end zone targets. Like, Tyreek Hill. And here's the thing. If he has Trayvon Diggs on him at all, Trayvon Diggs takes so many risks. You can't do that against Tyreek Hill, or else he's gone. So, Tyreek Hill, yes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked like he had a chance to play. I think they're going to leave the door open, but it sounds like he might actually miss another week. And if that's the case, Darrell Williams at 5'4", still too cheap. Getting a ton of work in the passing game, 9 targets. Again, if teams are playing that cover 2 shell, limiting the deep passing play, the middle of the field, the checkdowns are going to be wide open for Darrell Williams. Kelsey, nice bounce back game from him the last couple games. I mean, just honestly, just play everybody. Dallas is terrible against tight ends. Mahomes coming off a huge game. Just play everybody. I mean, on the other side, Dak, 7,200. Pairing with CeeDee Lamb, who was back in the slot in this game and with Gallup back last game, and he was playing in 2 wide sets. Back in week 1 when we last saw Gallup, it was Gallup and Cooper in 2 wide sets. So CeeDee Lamb in the slot, maybe one of the five largest mismatches in the NFL. That's terrifying. So Gallup being back might have had people worried about Lamb's target projections and totals and consistent usage and everything like that. But the fact that it put him in the slot last game where he is unguardable, and this should be a 40 attempt game from Dak Prescott, you would think, in terms of passing volume. Yes, love CeeDee Lamb. Cooper's only 6,200. Amari Cooper has been... Amari Cooper's had 2 good games this year. I guess 3, if you count the Giants game where he scored. Or 4 because of week 1. So 4 good games. It's been pretty tough to guess which game Cooper is going to go off. Now, you can obviously, and you should get exposure to him in this game, but like, Michael Gallup's over there at 4,200. he wasn't really limited, right? Which was good to see. Obviously, the blowout impacted a lot of player snaps last game. But, I mean, on both sides, Michael Gallup is going to be one of the best value plays in the slate, in my opinion. Game environment's great. He's only 5,400 on FanDuel. He was, you know, used down the field and in the intermediate last game. It was a big fourth down around midfield where they went to Gallup deep down the sideline. He caught it out of bounds at the two. Like, Gallup is kind of an easy play here. One of the best value plays of the slate, given the game environment, given the role he has in this offense. And then Zeke at 7-7. Like, Zeke is probably my least favorite play from this game just because I love the passing options, but obviously a great play. His usage is locked in. He should get 20-plus touches in this game. The Chiefs' run defense is not good. They still allow the, I believe, most plays or yards per drive in the NFL, so Dallas should be able to drive down the field at will in this game. I guess the one player that you don't love is Dalton Schultz. Only two targets with Gallup in his first game back. 4,600. There's other tight ends I'd rather play, so I probably won't go to Dalton Schultz, but other than that, like, yeah, just have fun with this game. It should be a lot of fun. So that'll do it for me on this slate, though. An hour breaking down the slate. Hopefully, just listening to me talk for an hour wasn't too boring. Hopefully, you still got a lot of, you know, actionable and important information to help you prepare for this DFS slate. Again, use this podcast. D-Bro's game-by-game article, which is why he's not on the Friday pods or Thursday pods. He's busy just writing that massive, massive beast of an article. That's live at FTN Daily. That is the number one article you should check every week preparing for DFS. So you pair that with this podcast, you pair it with all the other great content from every other analyst at FTN Fantasy and FTN Daily, and then you pair that with the optimizer. Again, FTN Daily lineup edge optimizer package, $49.99 per month. You get all four optimizers or all four sports for optimizers with player and roster percentage projections for that low price. Code FTNTV to get 15% off every month. Again, that's code FTNTV, 15% off every month. Appreciate everybody listening as always this week. Hopefully week number 11 goes well for you. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday to recap everything that happened on the solo pod here on Fade the Chalk, presented, of course, by FTN Network. For Adam Pfeiffer, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.